The Hamlet Podcast, Episode 14. Hello, and welcome to this exploration of Shakespeare's King Lear, with me, your host, Conor Henrity. Gloucester is all but convinced by Edmund's deception, utterly taken in by the ruse that Edgar is plotting against him. Gloucester pauses for a thought, wondering, he cannot be such a monster. But Edmund cuts him off, saying, nor is not, sure. Edmund's gameplay is so clever that he's now seemingly trying to tell Gloucester that Edgar is good rather than wicked. Of course, it's all treachery. But Gloucester has been convinced by this fake letter. He's dismayed that Edgar can be so conniving, can be plotting such harm against him, as he puts it, to his father, that so tenderly and entirely loves him. Heaven and earth. Edmund, seek him out. Wind me into him, I pray you. Frame the business after your own wisdom. I would unstate myself to be in a due resolution. Gloucester points out that he's been nothing but loving and tender to Edgar, and so this apparent betrayal is terrible to him. Heaven and earth, he cries. This is not a Christian world, after all, so his expletives are to more pagan ideas. Gloucester tells Edmund to go to Edgar, to seek him out, and to worm his way in with his brother by whatever means he considers fit. He says, frame the business after your own wisdom. And now we get a very bad call from Gloucester. He says that he would unstate himself, give up his title and his position for the sake of more clarity. Bear in mind, this is what he's been led to believe that Edgar is scheming to get from him anyway. Almost unwittingly, he's saying that he would do what Lear has already done, unstate himself, just to know what Edgar has been doing. He wants to be in due resolution, he says, to have more clarity about whether Edgar is or is not plotting against him. Edmund agrees to follow Gloucester's instructions. He says, I will seek him, sir, presently. Convey the business as I shall find means and acquaint you with all. He will go right away and find Edgar, and he'll do what needs to be done and then tell his father all about it. Edmund has played his father so masterfully, making himself look like the dutiful and honest son, when, lest we ever forget, he's the villain of the piece. Gloucester has a rueful speech about what's happening in heaven and earth before he exits. These late eclipses in the sun and moon portend no good to us. Though the wisdom of nature can reason it thus and thus, yet nature finds itself scourged by the sequent effects. Love cools, friendship falls off, brothers divide. In cities, mutinies, in countries, discord, in palaces, treason. And the bond cracked twixt son and father. This villain of mine comes under the prediction. There's son against father. The king falls from bias of nature. There's father against child. We have seen the best of our time. Machinations, hollowness, treachery, and all ruinous disorders follow us disquietly to our graves. Find out this villain, Edmund. It shall lose thee nothing. Do it carefully. And the noble and true-hearted Kent banished. His offence? Honesty. 'Tis strange. There was much talk in the press about the solar eclipse that spun across the world this week. How fitting that this episode just about coincides with the eclipse and its aftermath, although I didn't actually plan it. There was a major eclipse in October 1605, and Shakespeare would have observed it in London. Here he has Gloucester refer to recent phenomena like this, and how malevolent an effect they were believed to have. They portend no good. And even if science, or the wisdom of nature, can explain them away, thus and thus, nevertheless, nature finds itself scourged, he says, by the effects and results that ensue. And Gloucester lists them. Love cools, friendships end, brothers divide, cities fall victim to mutinies, seeds of discord bloom across countries, and in palaces, treason blossoms. And most personally for Gloucester, the bonds are cracked twixt sons and fathers. Bond is the same word that was used by both Lear and Cordelia, and surely it's a deliberate echo here. Gloucester says that this villain son of his comes under the prediction. Villain echoed again. What prediction he may mean is a little harder to guess. The Arden Shakespeare edition of the play mentions an almanac of predictions and warnings from 1604 by Himbert de Billy, or Imbert de Billy. The pamphlet, certain wonderful predictions for 7 years ensuing, showing the strange and wonderful comets and meteors, was written in French but translated and published in London in 1604. Best of all, you can actually read the whole thing, all 31 pages of it, online, if you can decipher the dense black-letter typeface. The booklet does indeed predict the October eclipse in 1605, whereby grievous and most wretched accidents are all presaged. All piety and charity shall wake cold, truth and justice shall be oppressed, and finally nothing else shall be expected but spoil and ruin of the common society. These are pretty severe predictions indeed for a solar eclipse. Fairly bleak predictions. No wonder it trickled down even into Shakespeare's characters' imaginations. Gloucester has picked up on the idea of a bond broken between father and son. Edgar, his villain of a son, has come under the prediction by behaving so seemingly badly. There's son against father right there. And meanwhile, the king has fallen, likewise, from the bias of nature. Shakespeare here means the tendency of things, the normal tendency or bias of nature, being for harmony between parents and children. But instead, Lear has destroyed that and turned against his favourite daughter. There's father against child. Gloomily enough, Gloucester laments that we have seen the best of our time. He points out that machinations, hollowness, treachery, and all ruinous disorders follow us disquietly to our graves. In other words, he's imagining that the remainder of his life will be beset by these troubles, schemes, deceptions, insincerity, and of course, treachery. The good times and the good days are certainly over. He snaps out of this bleak forecast and tells Edmund once again to go get Edgar. Find out this villain. He assures Edmund that he's got nothing to lose by going to Edgar, but to approach with caution. Do it carefully. Still musing over the malign influence of the eclipse, perhaps, Gloucester's thoughts turn back to Kent. Remember, they are pals, and were the first two people we met in the play. He thinks again of how the noble and true-hearted Kent has been banished for the offence of honesty. What an upheaval that the true-hearted are exiled and punished for speaking the truth. If no other line in the play resonated in the world today, this one might. As Gloucester puts it, 'tis strange. And with that, he worries his way off the stage, leaving Edmund alone again. Edmund is going to gloat about this amazing deception he's pulled off, but it's so bleak and disheartening seeing him get away with all of this so easily that I think we'll save it for the next episode. Here's hoping that the eclipse has had significantly less impact on your own life, dear listener, despite all the frightening things happening in the world today. Mind yourself, and I'll speak to you next time.